This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And yeehaw, boys and girls. Thank you so much for tuning in today. It is 11 o'clock. Rusty Simpray calls in everybody to have a hyperactive bluegrass Sunday morning. We're going to keep it going. Let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for allowing us to be on air today. With more cold weather on the way, believe it or not, now is the time to pick up a jacket to keep you warm on the slopes or in town. Blue Ridge stocks high-performance winter outerwear and active base layers from Patagonia, Mountain Hardware, and the North Face. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports stores are in Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, Chesterfield Town Center, and Lexington Commons in Richmond. Online, it's BRMS.com. And remember, those folks in the Crozet in the Valley, it's the new 101.1. Hopefully you are having a good time over there. All right. Let's check everybody's microphones because we have a fun-filled conversation going on today. Kurt?
Yes, sir.
Lawrence?
Yes, sir.
And Bill?
Morning.
Good morning. All right, we're going to keep working on Kurt's. That was when we had problems with when we started, wasn't it? All right, well, we'll keep going. I have little numbers left on my low to high. All right, so we will be talking about government and small business today. That should get everybody wound up. 979-0919. That's 979-0919. Write it down. Stretch the fingers. We'll be getting going. Lawrence Berga and Bill Hay from the Small Business Freedom Pack. That's PAC, not PACT, PAC. Small Business Freedom Pack. Lawrence Berga and Bill Hay with us. Kurt Gray, who is a small business owner from here in Charlottesville. Kurt, your business?
Maggie Moo's Ice Cream.
And that's, for those who don't know, that's up in the Hollymead area, that same shopping center as the Harris Teeter and the Target.
That's correct.
So when you're shopping, stop by Maggie Moo's Ice Cream.
Got to have ice cream to shop.
I like to have ice cream before and after. You have to have a little sugar buzz to get going, and then you need some treat when you're done.
I'll plug his business because my four children love it.
There you go.
Thank you.
And also I'll point out that Bill and I are in small business and both have been for many, many years.
Well, and that hopefully gives you a little information on which to run the Small Business Freedom Pack.
Absolutely. That's
right.
Why we did it.
Let's start with, I want to know what qualifies as small business, because I've heard the numbers 500 or fewer employees. What qualifies as small business?
The federal government considers a small business 500 or fewer employees. And it is a very debatable definition, of course.
That just seems like so many to be small. Is it, Bill, do you think that that's an appropriate number?
Well, being a small business person, when I had my business, we had three employees, all family. And so I think, yeah, 500 is pretty large number, but when you do compare it to some of the corporations that have tens of thousands, then I guess it's just all a matter of perspective.
And when you get to corporate level and you have tens of thousands of employees, you also have the money to pay a lobbyist on the federal and the state level, and you also have money to influence politicians, which they do on both sides of the aisle. And if you're a smaller business, even if you have 250, 300, you really don't have that that power to affect regulation and politics or political decisions that affect your business.
Kurt Gray from Maggie Moo's Ice Cream, a Charlottesville small business, and Kurt being a small business owner, 500. Does that qualify as a small business owner to you?
I'm not sure how to answer that, Rick. I have 12 employees, and that's a handful to try to take care of scheduling. And most of my employees, on the other hand, are teenagers as well. So hopefully as they graduate and go off to college, a little brother or sister's waiting in the wings. And we've been fortunate to have replaced employees that were leaving and going off to college with other family members. So we've had a very intimate success story with keeping our employees in the store.
Now, Maggie Moo's is a franchise, correct?
That is correct.
Do you consider yourself, is a franchise the same as an entrepreneur?
I guess the only difference would be, Rick, is that as a franchisee, I do have some rules and regulations that I have to live by with Maggie Moo's Corporate. And they are certainly not a small business. They are a multinational big conglomerate that owns Maggie Moo's, Marble Slab, Bill Blast Jeans. They've got quite a unique business that they oversee, and they're in Atlanta, Georgia. And if you go to the corporate offices, it's going into a big corporate building. It's not a small business. But to answer your question, you know, before we came in, they do you consider yourself an entrepreneur? And I was like, well, I'm not sure, because I always thought those were the ones that made a lot of money and drove fancy cars. And I don't do either of those. But I guess the fact that I'm in business for myself, I am considered an entrepreneur.
All right, guys, we are talking about government and small business and the pros and cons and any effects that government may have with a small business. Now, Lawrence and Bill from the Small Business Freedom PAC, there is a website. Is it SBFPAC?
Yes, SBFPAC.org.
All right, and when I went to prepare myself for the show today, I didn't see many pros that were listed on the website as government helping small business. It seems as though almost everything that I found on the website were cons that you guys had there. So let me start by saying, give me some examples of unnecessary rules and regulations, et cetera, that government does in hurting small business owners.
Well, I can actually refer to just some recent legislation that was passed back in, I believe, November, and it was the Food Safety Act. Now, that was generated because of the salmonella problem that happened earlier last year. And typical of government, when something bad happens, they tend to overreact. Now, what this legislation is doing is, and it wasn't opposed by the big farms and the cooperative farms, because they can afford the basically the fees and the cost of these regulations. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to make food safer, even though there were already previous laws on the books that, and the inspections weren't carried out the way they were supposed to have been, that hence the salmonella incident. They decided to pass more regulation, which, especially in this area, because we participated in the city market for the last 8 years, got to know a lot of small farmers. They're the ones that it's going to cost them extra money to meet these regulations. It's going to be more inspections, and it's not going to do anything to make their food better. It's just actually going to put some of them out of business, probably. And that's just one example of what government does sometimes, is that they tend to cater to the large corporations, the big corporate farms. Again, they have the lawyers, they have the attorneys, they can afford to spend extra thousands of dollars a year to, you know, meet these regulations, whereas a small, you know, family farmer, who's a lot of these people do on a part-time basis and have a full-time job, they just can't afford it.
And I'll point out, I think you mentioned Cargill before. If you're a corporation that size, yes, you could pay for the legislation easily, although the price of paying for it is passed to the consumer, no doubt, so it pushes everybody's price up. And I don't think most people realize that a profit margin for a successful business is usually between 5 and 10%, and most about 5%.
So, and what that means is if you sell it for a dollar, you spent 95 cents
yes.
to get that.
So if you have to add another penny or two, your profit margin goes down, and that affects the way you run your business. It, first of all, it affects how many people you can employ, but also how much you can invest to make your business better and grow. And I want to give a plug on that legislation to Tom Perriello, because he voted against it, because he realizes, particularly in the 5th District, there's a lot of small business farms, a lot of family farms, and this new legislation, which I believe, too, was overreaction, because we have plenty of laws in place to have quality and safe foods, will hurt the small business person quite a bit.
11:11 here on the Wake Up Call. Thanks for tuning in. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN rocks if you're in the toll-free needy zone. We'll be taking calls in about another 10 minutes. While we're talking about restaurants and food service, let me give a thanks to The Backyard. They're the university's culinary secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. Backyard invites you to join their outdoor patio seating in the heated tent provided by Commonwealth Event Company. The Backyard has a seasonal menu and seasonal brews on tap and is available for private events. For more info, you can find The Backyard on Facebook. All right, guest today, Kurt Gray, is a franchise owner of Maggie Moo's, Charlottesville small business owner here in the studio, Lawrence Verga, and Bill Hay from the Small Business Freedom Pack. As we talk about how government hurts and possibly helps a small business owner. Guys, you're talking about the new laws that went on the books, and Lawrence, I believe you said that we already have those laws on there. All we've done is add something else.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt, are you a dad?
I am.
Lawrence?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
One of the questions, and I was talking with somebody about this, was, is this any different from the way that children are raised today? The parents... And I realize this isn't about government so much as speak, but this is about our culture. The parents, anything bad that could possibly happen, we have to have something to stop it from happening. Mm-hmm. We have to have a discussion about it. We have to have a sign for it. Isn't this just government doing what we already do as families?
I don't know if anyone else, but I want to speak to that on two levels. As a parent, and I have a master's in psychology and work with children for about 6 years. And a lot of the counseling was just this is a long time ago in the 80s, and just to get parents to do the basic day-to-day safety issues that face children. And you know, I grew up many years ago, and there was a lot of dangers, and my parents taught me how to avoid them and use common sense. And we do that with our children, and I think you can infantilize a person by making everything so safe that they never learn how to develop that common sense for themselves and are depending on someone else to protect them. And as far-reaching as the government is, they're not going to protect them on a day-to-day basis. So I think it's a problem with their education and their growth, their developmental growth.
Kurt, are you concerned at Maggie Moo's about, I would assume that you have a sign on the door that says peanuts are used in this area or something, or somewhere in the food area.
We do.
That says peanuts are around here.
And at least once a day I will have a mom or dad, you know, my son or daughter is allergic to peanuts. Can you ensure that this is non-contaminated? Well, I would love to say yes. Reality is I have peanuts on my counter that I use to mix in when people ask for it. The ice cream production itself, when I make an ice cream, I feel pretty confident that there would be no cross-contamination just in the way it's made. But once it's out in the open, I'm next to Five Guys. I have people come in all the time with their peanuts. Well,
who might have stepped on them on the floor.
Oh, and they're cracking them and eating them in my store. So they're coming to buy ice cream, so I'm not so harsh to say, you know, please, no peanuts. But yeah, it's a legitimate concern, and I acknowledge that there's probably a liability there for me, but we do take every possible steps to ensure that your child or you yourself. We have people that are allergic to dairy products, and I'm like, well, I'm not sure how I can avoid a dairy product for you. I do have some non-dairy products, but obviously it's amongst all kinds of dairy products. So it is posted. I'm not sure how many people actually read it or see it, but I'm required to have it there as by Maggie Moose, not the Virginia Department of Agriculture, but it's a franchisee requirement.
Do you find that to be problematic for you?
Does it
slow you down as a small business owner?
Oh, yes. You know, if they're absolutely adamant about not using any of the ice cream I have out, I will go to the back and get some that's frozen at 20 below zero. Well, I don't know if you ever tried to scoop ice cream that's 20 below zero. It's like concrete, so it does slow the process down. I have to go get a cleaned and sanitized scoop. So to slow me down, it takes a couple minutes to satisfy my customer. I'm okay with that if they're willing to wait.
All right, guys, got your headphones on. We have a call, Charlie, from his car. Hey, Charlie, you with me?
Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
How you doing, Charlie?
All right, Charlie, what you got?
I'm kind of pumped up. So you're talking about different things about the government regulation on the farmers, things like that. But along with that food legislation that they had was the private home gardening. So that's going to kind of put the kibosh to that. Growing up, we had home gardening. I had 9 brothers and sisters, and my wife and I raised 10 kids, so we know a little bit about home gardening, but the government wants to get their little greedy mitts in there to kind of stop you from growing your little farm plot, giving it to your neighbors if you have too much, because, hey, we got to have our FDA people come in there and check out your maters to make sure that they're of high quality or of government standard quality so that you can't sell them, you can't give them away, because the government wants to do that. And the psychologist you have sitting there, sir, it's kind of neat that you talk about how to train kids and how to get, you know, some common sense going to them. My common sense, I told you, I call it for sure.
All right, Charlie. The note says that Charlie calling from his car, and apparently your car has wandered into one of our areas where you can't hear. Keep listening, and we'll jump on to the conversation. Guys?
Well, I think it's fascinating. And Charlie, I can definitely emphasize with you, we're actually going to be doing some gardening, quite a bit of gardening this year because of the increasing price in produce. And I really don't want the government telling me how or what kind of produce or how I should grow it, whether I want to do it organically or if I want to, you know, toss a bunch of chemicals on it. I think that's my business and not theirs. And it's something that you need common sense. You know, most people have common sense, and I don't see a lot of common sense coming out of...
Do you really believe that's true? Because what we hear, and I don't mean that in a... Yeah. Well, I guess I do mean that in sort of a snide way. But people always say most people have common sense. And what I believe most people think is that they have common sense and most others don't. That's why we need a sign that says... No, you know, there may be peanuts in this store, and someone asks, can you guarantee me that there are no peanuts contaminating this item?
Well, I guess I have to agree there, but I think part of the problem is that people have stopped relying on their common sense because over the past decades, we have started relying on other people to do our thinking for us, including the federal government and the state government, and that is why we have all these regulations because... You know, hey, if I go to a restaurant and I see dirt on the floor and the waitress is not washing her hands properly before waiting on me, then I'm probably not going to go back. I don't need the health department to come in there and inspect it for me. I've got 2 eyes myself, and I'll just not go to that business. And if people don't run their businesses properly, the capitalistic system will take care of them.
All right, Scott hung up. Scott, call me back. It is 11:19 here in the wake-up call, and let me do this. Guys, we are talking about government and small business with Lawrence Verga, Bill Hay, and Kurt Gray. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Partly cloudy and windy today, highs in the mid-50s. mostly cloudy and windy tonight. 20% chance of rain in the valley. Lows 40 to 50 everywhere. Mostly cloudy and windy tomorrow. Chance of rain all over. A little more in the valley, a little less in Lynchburg. 70 to 75 tomorrow. Right now, it's 43 in the valley, 50 in Lynchburg, 53 in Richmond, 50 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let me thank Dixon Disposal. Dixon reminds you that you can reduce household garbage by purchasing products with reuse and recycling in mind. Small changes in your lifestyle can keep our planet green for years to come. When Dixon's picks up your trash, they sort it and separate it for recycling. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. Call them up, 978-2111. Online, it's DixonDisposal.com. And we also want to take a moment and thank Ann Evans, Tracy and Dave and Tracy DeGregory, as well as Chester and Hound Business for contributing to WNRN's fund drive this past fall. It's because of people like them that you have the Wake Up Call on air every Sunday. It's also because of program underwriters like the one you're hearing from this hour, as well as Cavalier Produce, Price Hyundai Isuzu. So stay tuned, tell a friend about us, and be sure to support us in the upcoming fund drive this March. Or see how you can help now at WNRN.org. I got a little slice going on here. I didn't even have any beers last night. All right, back to our topic, government and small business. Kurt Gray owns a Charlottesville small business, Maggie Moo's up in the Hollymead area, Lawrence Verga and Bill Hay, Small Business Freedom PAC. Dial us up, 979-0919. Lawrence, sorry to...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I want to go back to the last segment and about peanuts. I have four children between the ages of 2 and 7. Nothing in the world I love more than my children and my wife. But I disagree with my best friend Bill here on that, because if one of my children, and by the way, we bring things to school all the time. My wife and I basically do all the parties, it seems, this year. And we know there's students in the classroom that have peanut issues, so we buy around that. But when it's a public restaurant like Maggie Moo's, if I had a child that had an allergic reaction to peanuts, I would not bring them in, because I've been to plenty of ice cream and yogurt places, and there's peanuts all over the place. There's almonds all over the place. There's walnuts. So I would have the common sense, even though my child might be disappointed, to either bring him to an environment where there aren't any or just have the ice cream at home. Because if you know, an owner of Maggie Moo's or whatever restaurant gets sued, then they're going to come down with more regulation. And it gets to the point where... where is the freedom? Where is the liberty? It's getting to the point now where you can't have a home garden. And it's gotten to the point, I don't know if many people know this, but the federal government is clamping down on bake sales for Boy Scouts, for Cub Scouts, for schools, for whatever, for trips, for bands, because the food is not good for you. So, I mean, where does it end? In the control of what we eat and what we do day to day.
Kurt, Lawrence and Bill with a Small Business Freedom PAC, a lot of negatives involved with government getting in the way of small business owners. Do you have any, have you experienced any positive aspects of the government helping you as a small business owner?
Positive aspects. You know, honestly, I go about my daily business. I'm working from the time I get there to the time I leave. I'm making ice cream. I'm helping customers because we're a small shop. I don't have 40 people working all the time. As far as the government reaching in, I can't say that I'm overwhelmed with those responsibilities. I do know when the recession started hitting or coming into play a couple of years ago, the Small Business Administration had a loan that you could borrow $35,000 for any purpose of your business, capital expenditures, payroll, bring your rent up to date. And they guaranteed the note for the bank. So I went to my bank. I'm like, great, you know, maybe I can buy that new piece of equipment. And my bank wasn't a participating bank. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll go to my friend at another bank. And they're like, Kurt, you can only use the bank where your corporate account is. And I'm like, well, that's kind of silly.
But that was a rule the government put into play that I could only borrow that money from my particular commercial bank, which it opted not to participate. So I can't say on a day-to-day basis I'm overwhelmed with government agencies.
How much time do you spend, whether it's if you have an hour number or you have a percentage, do you have a number to toss out there as
on a daily basis?
Yeah, that you spend doing government-related requirements. Or if it needs to be weekly.
I guess to some degree I'm doing it all the time when I'm trying to keep up with the Department of Agriculture requirements for my business, meaning temperatures are, you know, sensitive, hand washing, sanitizing. I mean, stuff like that is just kind of an ongoing. But as far as sitting down doing paperwork, I'd say maybe 5 hours a week.
I want to ask Kurt a question referring to your hand washing and your temperatures. Now, you're a pretty smart guy. Do you, and I don't disagree. I mean, I'm in the restaurant. I've been in the restaurant business myself and know what's required to, you know, keep your food fresh. You would probably be doing that anyways, wouldn't you? I mean, considering that it makes you, you know, your product better.
Well, it makes my product better, but my mother always taught me to wash my hands before, you know, I ate and after I left the restroom. So there was
the ag department didn't tell you anything new.
Not from a common sense standpoint.
Okay. Okay.
For teenagers, I do have to, I was like, you know.
Well, that's, as a boss, you teach your employees what to do.
Well, and the problem is all those restaurants have gone to like the hand sanitizers. Well, that may actually be the worst thing for your hands as far as killing all of the good bacteria that I'm not a doctor, so I don't really know. Yeah. But
you play one at work?
Yeah. But I have to point something out to Kurt. He owns a franchise, as you know. And he's got a corporation that is doing all the work with the government. Now, the work they do with the government they probably have many, many requirements, gets passed to him on the price of the franchise and gets passed to the consumer on the price of the food. I think having basic health laws are a great thing, but there's a lot of missing things. For instance, if Kurt did buy that new computer, he would be taxed by the county on that price of that computer if he's following the letter of the law forever.
That is correct.
And not a one-time tax, which I don't know why he'd get, because they already tax him on his income. That would be an infinite tax. Now, Bill and I did some investigating on the SBA, and I got rejected by three banks who told me they did carry it. Don't bother. You won't be approved, and if you're approved, you won't be funded. And we did some research, and we found that's it. So the government was at that point talking about, President Obama, Tom Perriello, we're doing these things to help small businesses, but the SBA loans are dodgy at best.
All right, we've got a call. Jason from Crozet. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, I'm all right. You got a question or a comment for these guys?
I do. I was just thinking about the comments regarding government regulation, and I'd like to hear what everyone thinks about. I mean, there's got to be some kind of minimal government regulation. These things, a lot of them, the food regulations stem from the progressive era with, you know, the jungle and Upton Sinclair and that kind of thing. So I kind of want to know what happened to my meat before it got to my house or before I bought it at the supermarket or wherever I got it from. So I just thought maybe you all could address kind of what minimal government regulations you might agree to, because obviously we don't just want to throw everything out the window. So I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent question.
Well, I like to be down at the city market for the 8 years. Met a lot of different vendors down there, from meat producers to vegetable growers, crafters and stuff. What has happened is, unfortunately, we've gone to such it's become such a large industry, you know, the food processing. And I know a particular meat processor, he has a farm up in Madison. And we've obviously talked extensively about inspections and stuff. And what has happened is, yeah, there need to be certain inspections. But if we get back to the buy local, buy fresh concept, you would actually know the person you're buying your meat from. If you have a problem, I mean, you can visit. I mean, this guy, you can go up and get a tour of his farm, and you can see how he's doing. You know, dealing with his cattle. And everything that's going on with it. and you can be assured, okay, well, if I buy that meat, you know, I know I'm getting a good product. I don't need to have a federal inspector come in and look at it. I've seen it with my own eyes. The thing is that, like I've mentioned before, is because we have these large corporate farms that are, you know, thousands of miles away from, you know, the people they sell the food to, that, yeah, we need federal inspectors in there to keep an eye on them, and they don't mind it because they can afford to, you know, meet these regulations, and it really hurts the small guy. And at the Small Business Freedom Pack, we're all for the small person. We want to see, you know, the local farmer doing better, being able to make a living and producing a good product. And a lot of that goes to, you know, they just can't. It's hard for them to deal with these enormous federal regulations, and we would like to see less of them. I mean, we'll never get away from them entirely, but the fewer there are, I think, in the long run, we'll probably be better off.
We are talking with Bill Hay, Lawrence Verga from the Small Business Freedom Pack. That's SBFPAC.org. Kurt Gray is here in the studio, small business owner here in Charlottesville, the Maggie Moo's Ice Cream up in the Hollymead area of town. Guys, Bill, you're talking about how you're comfortable with, if you know the business owner because he's a small guy and he's a local guy, that you're comfortable with that. It seems like that you guys aren't saying that there should be no regulations. It's just that you're saying there are too many. How do you get from too many to acceptable? What do we do to make that happen?
I'll take this one. I ran as a Republican candidate. I'm not a libertarian. I do believe in government help bettering our country. For me, it's just a matter of it goes too far, and the only thing that's going to prevent that now is people being actively involved, like we saw in the November election, to stand up for too much government and continue to battle it, because we've gone in the direction for the last the good part of the last century, if not longer, in just getting bigger and bigger, to the point where there are so many embedded costs in doing business, and it gets to a tax issue that a lot of people aren't aware of. And that's why people say, I can't make a living at $50,000 a year. Well, one of the reasons you can't is you're paying so many embedded taxes that it's taking all your money away. And that's when you're not only your tax, but taxes on a local, state, and federal government, and the products you buy. Because all the people that produce the products, like Kurt, are being taxed along the way.
Lawrence, are you saying that it's not the regulations, but it's the taxes? Because I'm hearing, and don't assume that I heard it properly, but what I thought I heard was, from one side, we heard that there's too many regulations, mm-hmm. and it's the same thing when we started the program about how really they're talking about preventing more salmonella, with a new law that went into play when they already had that law, and now all they've done is add, you know, another layer of paperwork to the issue. Mm-hmm. And now we get to the point about how it's taxes. Is it both? Is it one? Is it the other? Do you have a favorite, you know, as causing the problem?
Well, I think that the more you grow government, and this is the battle our country is fighting right now, and you're seeing it in Wisconsin and a lot of other places, the more government that you have, the government that you create has to support why they're there. They have to substantiate it, and so it gets bigger and bigger, and we end up, meaning the citizens of the United States, end up paying for that bill. You can create government to do everything for you, but the end product is you will not make any income. You will not have the basic life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. The government will give that to you as it wants to. So they are interchangeable. The bigger government, the more regulation. The more regulations, the bigger government, the bigger your taxes are. And government has to support its reason to be there so they continue to grow. And remember, if you have a budget for a department in government, every year they have a built-in increase in their budget, the money they're going to get. And when they ask for, say, more, and they're rejected. They say, well, we're not going to have more money. No, they've already increased their budget annually anyway.
All right, well, let's tie this into small business, because now it seems like we're drifting a little bit over into problems that Lawrence Verger has with the size of government. I want to keep it back to how the size of government affects a small business owner.
Let me give you a specific example.
All right, and then I'm going to ask a question to Kurt.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just say the recent, they call them the Bush-era tax cuts. They said, well, someone say it the other day, we need to tax the billionaires. Well, look, if it's 2 or 3% of America that you want to increase the taxes on to support this big government, it's not going to make up the deficit anyway. It's only 2% on projected growth. We don't know what the taxes will be with the real revenue. But that 3%, if you take the billionaires from that, it's only about, in a universe, it's only about 1%. Most of those people are the employment class that are now no longer going to be able to hire that employee or buy that new piece of equipment or reinvest in a second location because they're paying the government that extra 5%. And remember, I said business is making on a 5 to 10% margin. So it's not a tax on billionaires. It's a tax on the employer classes, the small business.
All right, well, I'm going to disagree with you there, but that's not the topic for today. So, I mean, we have a different politics there. You're to me, this conversation has nothing to do with Kurt. So I want to thank you for the comment, but I want to get back to some of the questions in the comments. And if we have any callers, 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. Kurt, do you have more of a distinction in who has you doing less of your, who's getting in the way more of your daily duties between federal, state, or local
I think
government?
Easily that's local. That's.
Can you share a few of those requirements that you need to do?
I don't know if it's necessarily requirements. Like signage has always been an issue for my store.
Okay.
If you drive down Route 29, nobody knows I'm there unless Lawrence has been in. We had temporary signs put up, and you have to have a permit. They're only good for 21 days. You have to take it down for a certain period of time before you can put it back up. The property manager actually put a big sign out for myself and some of the other businesses. And you know, quite honestly, you know, by the time it got to my turn to pay for the permit, I'd kind of forgotten it was out there. And the property manager says, Kurt, you got to call Bill. You got to get the sign done. Man, they're threatening to throw me in jail. And I'm like, what? And the sign had been up too long. It's got to go up and come down. And I was like, well, golly, if you look at the corner, that sign is rotting in place for the real estate for sale. And they're like, well, that's a real estate sign. Yours is a business sign. And I'm like, what? You know, a sign is a sign to me. So as far as the federal government, I guess when I pay my business taxes is the only time I deal with them. State is the same, other than I am monitored by the Virginia Department of Agriculture. And then from the local perspective, they have this new FOG. It's an acronym, but you know, they come by and check my grease trap or grease interceptor about every 30 days. And at this point, the guy knows where it is. I said, go, you know, look at it, and he'll come back out. You need to get it cleaned, and it's not a $50 cleaning. It's about $150, and if I have to do that on a monthly basis, you know, that does hit into my profit margin because that's an expense that I'm an ice cream shop. I don't have oil, but there are fats, and those solids do build up, and, you know, I call the roto guy, and he comes out and cleans up my trap, and it stinks up my restaurant for about 2 days, and
Do you there's another Maggie Muse franchise, I think you said, in Short Pump?
There's one in Short
Pump. Down near Richmond. Have you had conversation with the franchisee from that location and discussed, my county or my city is worse than your city or the different problems?
We have had those discussions. And what Albemarle County or what the Albemarle County's Water and Sewer Authority has done, in my interpretation, is taken what was coming down from the federal government about clean water and clean soil preservation, and each then municipality has the ability to put that into force or not. And I guess Albemarle County, being on the cutting edge, decided that we needed clean water, and we do. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's an expense that on a monthly basis that when I was doing my business plan, I wasn't prepared to do, because I just assumed that this thing would get cleaned out when it got clogged up. Well, that's not the case, and that's a little bit naive on my part, but it was not a consideration.
11:40 here on the Wake Up Call. Lawrence Verga and Bill Hay from the Small Business Freedom PAC. That's sbfpac.org. Find them online. Kurt Gray, a franchise owner for Maggie Moose here in Charlottesville. It is 11:40.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
And this week, 5 years after a non-smoker bought her second-story condo, the joy of home ownership has been ruined thanks to the smoking habits of her downstairs neighbors. Does she have any recourse? Should she? Does the unique Blue Ridge Swim Club have a future as part of a summer camp? And did the city of Charlottesville recently violate the First Amendment that its own free speech monument was designed to honor? The Hook. All the answers, none of the costs. And let's thank Ben Around Tattoos in Charlottesville and downtown Waynesboro. They feature male and female tattoo artists. They have thousands of designs available and can create work from a design that you provide. Ben Around Tattoos in downtown Waynesboro and at 701 West Main Street in Charlottesville. For more information, it's benaroundtattoos.com. All right, back with our guests today, Bill Hay, Lawrence Verga, Kurt Gray. Bill and Lawrence, Kurt says that the biggest sort of problem he has is with the county, so the local government. As with the Small Business Freedom PAC, is that something that you hear? Is it more, the more local, the more problems? Or does it go to the federal level, who's sending these down with their own creations?
Well, I would say it's probably a combination of the two. I live out in Greene County, had a small business out there. It was certainly much more business friendly to do business in Greene than it is to do in Albemarle. And I've talked to a number of other people who have started businesses in Albemarle County and said if they were to do it again, they would probably either move to the Albemarle-Nelson border or the Greene-Albemarle border, just on the other side of the county, just to make life a little bit easier for them. I do believe that there are federal regulations that are passed down to the state and local level, and same thing for state regulations that are passed to the local level. It's just a matter of, I think Lawrence mentioned it, that if you have politicians up there and they're there for a certain period of time, they do have to feel like they've got to do something. And I'm just amazed, even at, in Richmond, how many bills are proposed every year. You know, you're talking about short sessions. I mean, they're part-time legislators. Rob Bell, who's my representative, I think he said that each delegate has the option of proposing 16 bills or something every year. I mean, do we really need all these new laws? Every 60? I mean, we got what? I forget what the whole number of
state crazy.
Delegates are, but you're talking hundreds and hundreds of bills every year. Why?
Hey, Lawrence, if you have less government, doesn't that help the commercially large and well-funded organizations that have been talked about so that they would actually overwhelm the small business?
Meaning the...
if you have less government,
Walmart argument.
Exactly.
They push out the mom and pops.
That's correct. If there's less government to supposedly assist the small business, but the government sort of turns their back on it, doesn't that allow Walmart to take over even more?
Well, the perplexing thing for me as a citizen, because I really like the mom and pop stores, but you also have to realize that there's going to be some evolution in Walmart employs a lot of people, and you could go down the roads of the argument. But the thing that bugs me about it is that Walmart and all these major corporations can sustain the government things, and they support the government regulations, and they support the politicians. They give them tons of money. BP contributed almost $17 million to the Obama campaign. So small businesses can't do that. So I really feel that big corporations are in bed with government on both sides of the aisle, and to the detriment of the everyday guy that is trying to build their business. But it is a valid argument that I really don't have an answer to. The more big business you have, the more it pulls out small business, like Borders and Barnes & Noble killing the small bookstores, which were such wonderful places to go. And it's a very tough thing to see.
One of the things when doing my homework I found was that the IRS says 40% of the $290 billion tax gap comes from underreported income from small business and self-employed. Isn't that, you know, I know Kurt is doing all his job there, but there are certainly plenty of self-employed and small business owners
absolutely.
Who are cheating their way out of the system, and having more of them only hurts us.
We have an answer to that. It's called the fair tax.
13% of everybody. I go back to Jerry Brown. I love that idea.
Well, that too. But I mean, there's a flat tax or the fair tax. And what happens is, and we don't want to get way off subject here, but yeah, you're correct. I mean, there's people working under the table. There's out-of-work construction worker who is actually doing jobs for his neighbors and friends and getting paid without declaring that. They're, you know, but if you have, and people should look into the fair tax, and it's been demonized by politicians on both sides of the aisle, but if you have a national sales tax like that and eliminate a lot of the federal payroll taxes, then nobody escapes paying their fair share.
And also the amount of money, just the tax code. And you know, I run a small business, too, and we're very vigilant to pay everything because there's nothing like getting that call from the IRS. It's the worst thing. But, you know, if you look at Kurt or you look at myself or Bill, the price we pay to pay accounts and figure out what the IRS is doing. And I read how many tens of thousands of times the code has been changed since the 1980s, and how can we, even as educated people, figure it out? And it costs us so much money that we would rather place elsewhere just to figure it out. So there's got to be a way to simplify it for all citizens.
What do you guys think about the government supporting small business through loans and grants? Good thing or bad thing? Kurt, we'll start with the small business owner over here.
I guess I would have to lean on the side that it's a good thing. If it gives me an opportunity to expand my business in an affordable manner, I would say that's a good thing. When I opened my business, I tapped equity in my house and used some assets we had, so not to be so leveraged in my business. And as the years have passed and that margin has gotten narrower and narrower and narrower, it would be nice to have somebody facilitate on my behalf and say, listen, you know, I just need 30 grand. You know, I need a new freezer, or I need to be able to market myself. You know, advertising is so daggone expensive. It would be nice, and maybe it's out there. I don't know. I haven't gone out to seek any information.
That's because there's 100,000 pieces of paper that you have to read through.
Probably so.
I support it too. I think it's a great way to help people that may not be able to get that money because they don't have equity on their house, or they don't have an uncle that can help them out because, you know, they're a minority, and but they have a great vision. And of course, if you borrow the money, you are paying interest. Now, it's easier to walk away from a federal loan than it is a bank loan, but I think that's a good way of government helping people out. I think it's just too hard to do it. Most people give up. And you know, the other thing about it, about the government doing that, is it, like I said, it should be easier, but it does help people out, and they are paying interest on the money. Bill?
I have kind of a mixed feeling about that. I kind of like the idea of the government making funds available for small businesses, but unfortunately, when it comes to the government, they want to pick and choose the winners and the losers when it comes to that. I mean,
explain that a little bit to me.
Well, you know,
Are you talking about size of business? Are you talking about the fact that there are minorities involved?
Minorities, where your business is located, as far as, okay, if I want to open up a business in the inner city, I may be able to get the funds easier, even though the business may not make it. It's less likely to make it than if I open it up in a more wealthy
Keswick
section. Keswick, yeah, whatever. And they turn it into politics. It all goes to politics. What's this congressman? Okay, this congressman is going to go forward and try to promote and get you a loan or help you out, and because it makes him look good, whether it's good for the locality or not. And I just it just turns into politics a lot, and that's the thing I have question about, because it's the federal government.
And if we have time, I have lost a lot of my business since the recession, and there's a way the government is hurting me, and there's a way I wish government would intervene.
Fire away.
Well, government wants banks to get bad debts off of their books. So I have a property, I'm paying my loan, reaching the covenants, even making some profit, but because the market in appraisals are down, my property is worth 70% on the dollars. So what banks are doing now is they're foreclosing on those properties, and it's happened to me, and they're not working with people. So the government telling banks to write it off, they sell it on 10 cents in the dollar, and what that does is it pulls all the market down, and it also it means if Kurt wants to rent someplace, he can leave his person or his landlord, go to someplace else and pay a lot less because they've gotten that property on 10 cents to the dollar, which is going to hurt the person that owns his property, and he may foreclose. How I wish the government would intervene is have banks not write people off just because they're under appraisal, which is only a subjective piece of paper, but work with those that can sustain their property. That would be a very, very good use of funds. But with small businesses is not getting avocation right now from government on the properties as we are as citizens on our homes.
It sounds like that everyone's looking at their little piece of the puzzle but not looking at the big puzzle as a whole.
Yeah, and it's really hurting this country because property ownership, commercial or residential, is really the key to most people's wealth.
11:52 on the Wake Up Call. Thanks for listening. Kurt Gray here is a small business owner in the Charlottesville area. Lawrence Verga and Bill Hay, small business owners representing the Small Business Freedom Pack. You can find them online, sbfpac.org. And let me thank a small business here, Blue Ridge Graphics, for allowing us to be on air today. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. All right, we do have about 7 minutes left. If you have a question or a comment, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Scott from Charlottesville, you called earlier, and when I went to get you, it was a dial tone. Dial me back if you'd like. So 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Guys, here's a question that I've always wanted to ask, and I'm going to ask, we'll start with Bill, because this is a small government question. Someone said to me that government seems to be a job bank, and in some ways existing just to provide jobs. If you reduce government, don't you lose those jobs, and what do those people do then?
You reduce the size of government, and I believe you'll see the private sector grow, and those people who are currently employed with the government will find jobs in the private sector. The government is not there meant to be a job provider.
How do you do, though, and Lawrence, how do you reduce government, partly, and I realize that I'm gathering in thought process here that you guys aren't talking about reducing government now because of the current economy. You are believers that government is too big anytime altogether right now. But how do you reduce government now, taking jobs away from those people and sending them out to the current world to become a small business owner? Kurt, would you have done this 2 years ago?
In light of the economy?
Yes.
Absolutely not.
Okay, so how do you send people out there with a smaller government to do their own business now?
I don't believe you can do that unless, I don't want to get into political issue, we might agree, unless you reduce taxes so the business owners that have no capital can reinvest and create jobs. That you have to do both of them, which, by the way, is a Keynesian philosophy, which is what the left uses. You have to have a combination.
So how do you increase the number of people? What does government do now to help someone become a small business with the current economy?
You asking me that?
Well, all three guys. Okay. Lawrence, go ahead and start.
Okay, well, I'll go back to a decade when both the private sector and the government grew, and that was during the 80s. So if the government can help small businesses by reducing our tax load, so we can use that money to reinvest in businesses, and we have incentive to reinvest because we have the money and incentive to reinvest because we'll be able to use that revenue to improve our businesses. And in the 80s, both government and private sector grew. So they could be married together. If right now I believe the cart of government is before the horse of private sector, and the growth of the private sector, I believe, needs to be the key for the economic growth. We'll build tax revenues, and we can have the government we need.
Kurt, what would you have wanted if you had thoughts about opening up your own business 2 years ago? What would you have needed from the government to make that happen?
Wow. I guess there would have certainly had to have been more funding available for the small business person, because Maggie Moose didn't cause my real estate to depreciate over the last couple of years. It didn't cause my margin to narrow over the last couple of years. We're a victim of what the economy, the downturn, and it was so sudden and impactful, there was no chance to prepare. But if I had been opening my business 2 years ago, I would certainly, you learn by your mistakes. I would have certainly had a lot more information and assets brought to the table on my behalf, either through private investors or government investment.
All right. Caller, hang on just a second. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. We have Ted from Charlottesville. Ted?
Yeah, hi. I just want to contend that by, having people calling for smaller government and less taxes, what you're doing is you're not removing regulation, you're removing enforcement. And so you've got less enforcement, and where at one time government-funded people were available to check on food safety and take care of that stuff, now it falls to the small businessman because they don't want the regulation. But you know what? That just brings more regulation because somebody has to do it. You don't want the government to do it? Fine, do it yourself. But you better do it right.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Guys, we have about 90 seconds left. Bill, the hands are pointed at you for that response.
Well, as been working in the restaurant business, if I don't provide good food to my customers, if I make my customers sick, my restaurant's going to go out of business, and it's kind of self-regulatory at that point.
But there are other businesses out there. I mean, and I recognize that you and myself are, this is what we do, and if we make someone sick, they always say, it only takes one person to lose 10 customers.
I heard 20.
Okay. maybe I have more of a positive aspect on it. There are many other businesses, and I'm sure Ted is thinking about other ones included in his statement, that it's not all about food. And sometimes it can be someone can get fatally injured. Someone can lose an arm because no one is checking the car or the commercial truck, et cetera.
Well, that's true. But, there's no way to guarantee everyone's safety all the time. And I do have to disagree, you know, Ted mentioned that smaller government means, you know, less people to enforce regulations, but it also means less regulation, too. And you don't, if you have less regulation, you have less people to needed to enforce it.
All right, guys, I think we could go on for another hour easily, but our hour is up. Thank you so much, Lawrence Verga and Bill Hay, Small Business Freedom Pack. Go online. There's contact information. There's items to read to get a little bit more about it. SBFPAC. Kurt Gray, you can go shake his hand and have some of his ice cream at Maggie Moo's up in the Hollymead area. Next week, Sean McCord will be here leading the show as they talk about movies and the Oscars. All right, everyone have a great week. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.